Shall we now turn to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we shall read from verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. The Lord had sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people. Well, we are taking lessons from the kings of Israel, and we are on part 10, and this will be the final lesson, the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. Well, the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. We are still looking into the life of Saul, the first king of Israel. Israel demanded for a king like the other nations. God gave them exactly the type of king they wanted. He was the exact replica of the kings like the other nations had. He sounded great. He looked great. He seemed to be a very innocent and non-threatening person. He looked like a man that was not hungry for power. In fact, as I said last time, he hid himself from the fame and praise. Yet, the moment he became a king, he had only one thing on his mind: to follow after his own heart. The Lord had to reject Saul and anoint the son of Jesse called David. The Lord said of this young man that he was a man after his own heart. David was a man who did not follow after his own heart, but after the heart of the Lord. As we read in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, the Lord had sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people. That is a great difference between a godly person and a worldly person. The worldly person is so obsessed with his own heart that he even turns God's heart into his own heart. That is why the liberal Christians keep saying that Jesus did not speak this and Jesus did not speak that. They say that the disciples put these words into Jesus' mouth. In other words, they make Jesus into an idol, because this is what people do to an idol. They give the idol their heart, their mind. The idol does not have a heart of his own. He does not have a mind of his own. So they gave this stone, this wood, this metal, their own heart and mind. The idol is simply a reflection of their own heart. God, on the other hand, speaks of his own heart and mind. How do we know the true words of God, the true mind of God? That it is the living and true God speaking. Well, when you hear the words of the Bible, inspired by God, man finds it difficult to accept and live up to the standards of those words. We know that the Bible is the true word of God because the mind of man is in conflict with the mind of God. The ideas and the feelings and the character of mankind behaves contrary to God's mind and his character. This is where Saul and David differed. Saul thought and behaved as any worldly man would behave. But David, he thought and behaved after the mind and character of God. Now, you may wonder at times as to why did God allow Saul to continue to be the king of Israel even after David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. I had this question many a times. There David is anointed and yet he has not become a king. Well, the Lord had clearly said to Prophet Samuel that he has rejected Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 23. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Then again verse 28 of 1 Samuel 15. The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Then in chapter 16, the Lord asked Samuel to go to Bethlehem and anoint one of the sons of Jesse. The last time we saw that David was called, and the Lord told Samuel in chapter 16, verse 12 onward, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. But then we are told in verse 14, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." Now, although Saul is rejected by God, and God anointed David, we see then onward, 14 chapters are dedicated to Saul. Saul continued to rule Israel. Why so? Why was it necessary that such a man should be allowed to continue and rule Israel? The purpose is obvious. The Lord wants to show us the difference between Saul and David. People demanded to give them a king like the kings of the world. So God gave them Saul, who followed after his own heart. After Saul had failed, now God made his own choice. He chose David that followed after the heart of God. So we have one man following his own heart, and there's another man, a king, who would follow after the heart of God. Saul did everything that a worldly person does. He hated, he was filled with prejudice, was filled with revenge, feels terribly jealous, he harbored bitterness, intends and plans to murder. He had no appetite for God's word. He had no intentions to come under God's rule, under God's command. He had settled in his heart to submit to no one but to his own will. David, on the other hand, followed after righteousness. He is very humble. He is brave and courageous. He is full of faith in the Lord. His confidence is the Lord. He highly esteems the Lord. He highly esteems God's commands. He sings God's glory. He is content. He is not a seeker after fame. He exalts the name of the Lord. He submits himself to the commands of the Lord and of the King. He is not afraid of the enemies of the Lord. He does not depend on weapons to attack his enemies. He trusts God. He does not depend on number to defeat the enemies of God. Well, let us see how this is made manifest. First of all, after David is anointed by Samuel and the Spirit of the Lord God came upon David, and we are told that David returned to be with the sheep. Here is David. He is anointed by the prophet And of course he's been told that he is now going to be the king. The Holy Spirit came upon him. What does David do? He goes back to look after his sheep. David is not puffed up. He is not puffed up because he is anointed to be the king, nor is he puffed up because the Holy Spirit came upon him. He does not go about telling people, look, I am anointed with the Holy Spirit, that is anointed to be the king. He does not go and collect people to join him so that he can pull down Saul from his throne and sit himself on it. Nothing of this kind. He returns to take care of his sheep. And you'll find this in verse 19 of chapter 16. David knows to wait for God's time. He's never in a hurry to push his agenda. The word of God says in Psalm 27 verse 14, and I'll read for you few Psalms. Psalm 27 verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Psalm 37 verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And then again, verse 34 of Psalm 37, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Thou shalt see it. So David knew to wait upon the Lord. David was a humble lad, having humble occupation. When Samuel came to choose one of the sons of Jesse to be the king, Jesse, David's father, did not even remember to call him before Samuel. He made his seven sons to pass by Samuel, but David, he was forgotten. We looked at this in detail last time. David was minding his father's sheep. Jesse did not even tell Samuel that he has one more son left to be seen. David was not esteemed at all. What good can a keeper of a sheep do? What good can come from a simple shepherd boy? The Lord told Samuel in chapter 16 verse 7, the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord look on the heart. And Jesus said, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. David was a keeper of the sheep. In this sense, David was in many ways sort of cut off from the rest of the activities that took place in a village or in a town or in the city. He was with his sheep. He was faithful in his work. He did his best in the task that was given to him. He may be lost to the world around him. He may be of no esteem to the family, neighbors, and friends. But in God's eyes, David was highly esteemed. Highly esteemed. For the Lord told Samuel, the prophet, the Lord had sought him a man after his own heart. The Lord has found for himself a man after the heart of God. Then suddenly, things begin to change in the life of David. Saul was afflicted with evil spirit from the Lord. Saul was advised to seek for a person who can skillfully play on an harp so that he could feel better, so that he could be calmed down when the evil spirit made him miserable. At that time, a man who knew David was in attendance before King Saul. This man immediately proposed David's name. He told the king, David was a skillful man. He played skillfully on the harp, and that he was a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, a prudent in matters of business and situations, a calmly person, and that the Lord was with him. Look how the Lord does, and we dealt this in details last time, that the Lord, even never think that you are forgotten of the Lord. The Lord is working out his purposes, and he puts the right people at the right time to recommend you, to take you forward. So suddenly, David is placed in the company of high men. David is made not only to play the harp when the evil spirit comes upon Saul and when he is troubled, but David is made the armor bearer of King Saul. God does not stop here. When the Lord calls a person, he also confirms his calling. How did the Lord confirm David's calling? Well, as you know, Goliath, the Philistine giant, came to challenge Israel. The whole of the army, whole of Israel army, including King Saul, they were terribly afraid of him. But then, David is sent to his brothers. They were in the army of Israel. And David came. David, Jesse's father, sent David with food to his brothers. Then David saw this giant challenging Israel's army. A whole of Israel army were afraid of this giant. David was angry, for this giant challenged the army of the Lord of hosts. He then went with just a sling and few pebbles and killed Goliath with one stone. David told Goliath, if you can turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we shall read from verse 45, because this shows the character, the heart, the faith, the hope of David in the Lord of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45 onward. He told Goliath, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag, and took hence a stone, and slang it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So, suddenly everyone's gaze was upon David. When King Saul and his army marched back home from this victory, all the women came out of all the cities of Israel, and they sang, and they danced, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. That was great, tremendous praise for David. Now, This brought great jealousy in the heart of King Saul. He was very angry. Chapter 18, verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And then we see, dear friends, on the very next day, Saul tried to kill David by throwing a javelin at him. The evil spirit from the Lord came upon Saul, but he pretended to prophesy, to show as if that spirit is the Holy Spirit, as if the Holy Spirit inspired him to kill David, so that people would suspect David to be an evil person. Look at verse 11, chapter 18, verse 11. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. The truth is that Saul was afraid of David. And this is what verse 12 says. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. The next thing Saul does is he removes David from being his musician and armor bearer and makes him the captain of the army of 1,000 soldiers. Therefore Saul, we are told in verse 13, therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. Not only that, but he even offered his daughter's hand to David. And for this he demanded that David has to fight the Lord's battle. Why was Saul doing all this? This was with the view that David might be killed in the war. Saul wanted David to be on the front line so that David might be killed in war. Look at verse 17, chapter 18, verse 17. For Saul said, let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. He wanted David to be dead. But David behaved well, wisely in all things. In spite of all this, we are told David behaved well. Look at verse 14 to 16. And David behaved well, wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him even more. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in from them. These are biblical principles, dear friends, which you and I must follow, which you and I must practice. The more people hate you, the more you and I should walk in the commands of the Lord. The more you and I should put on the mind of Christ towards those that oppress you and me. This is what David did. Look at verse 19. The scripture says, that is Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And that is exactly what David was doing to Saul. David perhaps knew the intentions of Saul, but he remained faithful to the cause of his master, King Saul. He risked his life in order to be obedient. He did not care for his human rights. How differently we think. We would rebel. We would criticize, we would smear the name of our boss, our elders, our pastor, take them to court if possible, and leave that occupation and believe that it is all justified. David stuck to the post and obeyed the bidding of the man in authority. Why? This was because this man was anointed of the Lord. But there's a limit, of course, to take in. So Saul continued to harass David. He tried to pin him down again with javelin. We see this in chapter 19, verse 9 to 10. He even discussed with his own son, Jonathan, that David should be killed. But Jonathan held David in great admiration. He loved David. David at last had to flee. He had to flee. Saul chased David. And David had to hide, at times in the caves, at times in a city, at times in the open. David did not ask that famous question, "If God loves me, why is this happening to me?" David was not only loved by the Lord. God said that David has a heart after his own heart. How many can say that my heart is after the heart of God? Of how many people on this earth can the Lord say that these are the people that have a heart after his own heart? Yet we say to God, "If God loves me, why am I suffering? Why is this happening to me?" David, beside having a heart after God's own heart, was anointed. The Holy Spirit came upon him. If this is so, why all these problems? Why these heap of persecution? Well, according to the Word of God, suffering is the benchmark, the standards, the yardstick by which you know that God is your Father. Suffering is the surety that God loves you more than any other person on this earth. And this is the surety that God wants to make you like Him. God wants to make you like Him, and therefore He makes you and me to go through this fire, that we may burn, that this trials, this suffering, this persecution, because we love the Lord, not just because for anything, but because we love the Lord, because we are made righteous by God, we have to go through this so that the dross in us may be destroyed and we may come out pure in the eyes of the Lord. God destroys evil through humility. He destroys evil by willing to suffer without sinning. The Lord revealed this to us through Jesus, the Son of God, who became man and was perfect, yet as a human being suffered persecution, suffered much, and died a very humiliating, disgraceful death. But the Bible says it was through these sufferings that He was made perfect. Why? The letter to the Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10 says, "To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." Is that not the truth, dear friends? Is that not the truth, that even the Son of God had to come down to teach us this secret of having life eternal, of being one with God, of having salvation? So the scripture says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12. And then I want to read for you Matthew chapter 5 verse 10 and onward. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Now, how did David respond to Saul's hatred and persecution? He responded in a manner which was very noble, Christ-like. Twice David had an opportunity to kill Saul. Saul's life was clearly at David's mercy. David's men told David to finish Saul, but David would not lay his hands on Saul. Why? He feared God. Saul was anointed by God. Yes, Saul was very wicked, very evil, unjust, but nevertheless, Saul was appointed by God. He said to Abishai, Abishai said to David, destroy him. But David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. David continued to respect Saul, but he also challenged Saul, and he exposed Saul's evil deeds. He told Saul, as we read in chapter 24, wickedness proceeded from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come up? Look, he's challenging Saul. After whom are you coming, O king, O my lord? After whom do you pursue, O my father? After a dead dog? After a flea? What do you think of me? That's what David is saying. Well, hearing all this, you might think that David was perfect. No, he was not. He tried to use his own methods in order to escape trouble. For example, he went to take refuge with Achish, king of Gath, one of the king of the Philistine. And when they questioned about his identity, he was afraid and he acted like a madman. He started scratching on the wall just to escape from him. Again, when Saul continually kept chasing him in order to kill him, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. By doing this, he forgot that the Lord had anointed him with a purpose. He began to doubt. He feared. And so are we, dear friends. So are we. We also many a time forget that God has saved us. We forget that the Lord has promised us eternal life. We forget that the Lord is with us. We forget that God is everlasting and He will always help us in times of need. We forget the purpose that God has given to us. Let us understand that nothing will happen until God fulfills His purpose for you and me. Now, let us turn to something very important. Our time is really running out, but we must finish this. Let us turn to something very important. When we go through protracted trouble, when we suffer for a long time of apparent uncertainty, God does not leave us altogether in the dark. He gives us encouragement. And David received many such encouragement during his trials and persecution. God used people to reinforce the promise that He made to David. And the first on the list is Jonathan, Saul's son. Because of time, we will not be able to look at it in detail, but I will mention what was said to David by three of them. First is Jonathan, King Saul's son. He said to David in chapter 23, verse 17, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee." What an encouragement. How strengthened David must have felt. Next on the list we have Abigail. She was a wife of Nabal. Nabal was a wicked man. Abigail was a stranger to David. Nabal had acted very selfish and rude towards David. David was about to kill him. Abigail pleaded, and this is what came out of her mouth. And this we find in chapter 25, verse 28 onward. She said, "I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days." Lastly, but not the least, Saul himself, the greatest enemy of David, the one who wants to kill David. He admits that the Lord will surely make David the king of Israel. Look at chapter 24, verse 17. "And Saul said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand." That must be momentous for David to hear. Is that not wonderful? In our lives too, we must watch out for encouragement, dear friends, that God gives us. Things does not work out as we want most of the time. It takes years and years of grief at times, but the Lord does not remain without giving us encouragement. He encourages us through the daily reading of His words. God encourages us through the sermons that we hear, through the devotional books that we read, even through the words of our brethren. Is that not? We got to be attentive. We got to listen to the Lord's voice, speaking to us, strengthening us, encouraging us. Before we finish, it is to be noted. In David, we get the foretaste of the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the characteristic of Jesus Christ in David. But David was only a man, and he was a sinner, a miserable sinner too. David doubted and acted after his own heart at times in order to escape that threat from his enemy, Saul. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, never doubted his Father. He wholly submitted himself into the hands of his Father. "Father, thy will be done, not my will," he said. Jesus Christ defeated the mighty Satan not by sword, nor by bow and an arrow, but by being obedient to the Father's command. Jesus Christ destroyed Satan by becoming humble, even to the point of death. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Jesus was a man totally after the heart of his heavenly Father. David was a foretaste of such a king as Jesus. Through David, God was preparing the people that he would provide for them a perfect king. A king having God's very own heart. He would not follow after God's heart, but he had the heart of God, because Jesus is God. And then at the appointed time, the Lord God did give to the whole world a perfect king. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Saul, who wanted to kill David through the hands of the Philistines, he was hit by the arrow of a Philistine. He asked his armor bearer to kill him, but the armor bearer would not. So Saul fell on his own sword and died. Saul died, and David, son of Jesse, the man whose heart was after God's own heart, became the king of Israel. Shall we pray?